The Lord. As we come around the Word of God tonight, we have here in spirit what needs to be done if necessary. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided your Word and you have provided the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. We praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that all things work together for our good if we love you and keep your commandments and go forward in you. Father, I pray that tonight we would have a revelation in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're looking at the topic of good success in God. And if I was to ask people, what does success mean? you would get many different definitions, because the fact is that the world has very different ideas of what success is than what God says is success. And so I just want to briefly just talk about success. Obviously, we can look around us and we can see what success is not. It's not being defeated. See, success is not being in a place of defeat and not able to pay your bills or not able to get your healing. Success must be further than that, must be more than that. Success is not being in a purse. But let's have a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, because I want us to see in God's eyes what success is, so that we can understand that if we are to be successful, then we have to be people that understand what God wants in our life. And see, that is true success. What does God want in your life? What does God want in your life? Because there's many people that are going out seeking and doing all types of things, but it's the opposite of what God wants in their life. And they may even look like a success. Oh, look, they've got plenty of money. They're adulated by the world and so on. People clap them when they arrive and clap them when they leave and all that type of thing. But, you know, there's scripture, which we won't turn to it, but the Bible says that which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination to God. Okay, so we have to know what is success in God's eyes, and we can see that very clearly if you look at verses 9 and 10 of Colossians 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? Filled with the knowledge of his will. God wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Okay? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And here's the key. Spiritual understanding. Do you really understand things spiritually? Spiritual understanding. And verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, do you want to do that? Do you want to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? See, success is pleasing the Lord ultimately in your life. You don't want to come to the end of your life and then appear before the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, I buried your talent, Lord. I buried that talent. I didn't use it for your glory. I was afraid of what men would say or this or that. I was entangled in the affairs of this world and I didn't have time for you. And see, that's not good, is it? That's not going to please the Lord at all. Verse 10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in what? Every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And this is where we've got to be going forward in. We're filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And there's much more we could go through in this section of Scripture, but I just want to leave it there because I want you to see this is a biblical definition of success, a biblical definition of success. And if you've got spiritual understanding, then you'll know what God wants in your life, and that's why you've got to seek the Lord. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, all the things that the heathen and everyone else is rushing after, all these things will be added unto you. But you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Look, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How does the kingdom of God operate? How does the kingdom of God go forward? We have to understand how the kingdom of God operates, because we're no longer of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Are you in the kingdom of God? Well, if you're born again, you must be. You must be. And therefore, there's a new way. There's a new way with a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding things, a new way of speaking, a new way of doing things. Have a look at 2 Corinthians 5. We'll look at verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 5. If you're born again, old things are passed away. If you're born again, you need to know what pleases God. And if you're going to have good success in life, and that doesn't mean that you're down and out, it doesn't mean that you're defeated, it doesn't mean that you can't do what God has called you to do, because he'll give you the enabling, he'll give you what is necessary for him as you are called to do what he wants you to do. But you've got to seek him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we'll look at verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All of us have the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, all of us are meant to be involved in some way to getting a reconciliation between those who are not in God, so that they come into the Lord. Now, what we see in verse 17 is, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that tells me a few things. It should tell you a few things as well. First of all, if you're in Christ, there's a change. There has to be a change. It's no use professing Christ, there'll be no change in your life. No, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. If you've truly been born again, if you've truly confessed Christ as your Lord and Saviour and received him, then there will be a change on the inside of you. And there will be a change in your thinking and in the direction you're going. There'll be a change. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Now, this is where it comes to other parts of Scripture, which says, be not conformed to this world. You know, what were we before we were Christians? We were people that were of the world. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were under the god of this world, which we know to be Satan. But, you know, we've now got a new Lord. We now have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our new Lord. We now have a new way. We're no longer of the world. We're in it, obviously, as witnesses and as workers for Christ and servants for God, but we're no longer of it. And so therefore we can't afford to be thinking, oh well, I'll do things the old way all the time if you're going to have good success in God. It's not possible. It's just not possible. You see, all things are of God. That means in your life now, all things are of God. You don't want to be having the old things coming in. You know, before you were a Christian, you may have been a person who was a deceiver. Well, you can't bring that into your new way of living. Or you were a person who was stealing. You can't bring that into your new way of living. Or a person who had bitterness. You can't bring that into your new way of living. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now that tells me also you've got to learn about how to walk in God. Because if it's new, if you've had that change, it's new. Well, babes in Christ don't suddenly become spiritual giants. You see what I'm saying? They have to increase in the knowledge of God. Isn't that what we read before? They have to grow. In other words, how do they grow? The Bible talks about being fed with the milk of God's word. growing in that and strengthened and so on. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's clear that if all things have become new, then there's a new way to walk. There's a new way to talk. There's a new way to think. Let's have a look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. You know, after the death of Moses, Joshua took on the leadership role. And in the leadership role, there were a few things that had to be explained or he had to take hold of. This is very, very important. You know, we'll start from verse 1. And you'll see that in the book of Joshua, it talks about the exploits of Joshua under the Lord. But you've got to say, well, you know, here he is in this new leadership role. He's got to lead the Lord's people. What does God tell him to do to have good success so that he can prosper? Okay, what does he tell him to do? So let's concentrate, let's attend to the words here and see what God tells him to do, you know. He was in a new position. We have all things that are new when we're born again. We come into a new way of thinking and operating. Well, it's the same type of thing, and we'll see it in other scriptures in a minute. Same type of thing when you come into the Lord's way of doing things. There's the Lord's way, and there's the old way, the old paths of the world, and there's God's new way, the right way, so to speak, the way of righteousness. We start from verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. We'll go to verse 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying... Now, the Lord is speaking to Joshua here. So he should be attending to what the Lord is saying. It have to be pretty important because he's just coming into this new role. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here's a wonderful promise. Has God promised that he'll also be with us as well? Yes, he has. You can see that, for example, in Matthew 28. So we know that God is with us as well. Okay, just as he's promised here to be with Joshua. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Have we been commanded to be strong and of a good courage? Yes, we have. If you went to Ephesians 6, you can easily read that. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I... swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So he's giving a commandment here to observe to do according to all the law. Well, we know that the word of God is God's law. Okay, the word of God. So he's talking about observing what the word says. And then verse 8 says, this book of the law, we can say this Bible, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then... Notice the word then. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Good success. Does God promise good success? He does. Do we have a book that we can make sure does not depart out of our mouth? Yes, we do. Do we have a book that we can meditate in day and night? Yes, we do. And do we have a book that we can look into and observe to do according to all that is written therein? Yes, we do. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. And Jesus said that we are to build our house or our life upon the rock of his words, his sayings. Very clear. And then it says, if you do this, if you put it into your mouth, if you meditate upon it, which is think about it and allow it to mould your understanding. Remember what I talked about spiritual understanding before. Let it mould your understanding. Change your way of thinking. It says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Notice the responsibility was on Joshua here. You'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. And verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now you might say, well, surely that's just to Joshua. That's only to Joshua. But in fact, those principles that we've just read here are right through the scriptures and right through even the New Testament. And so it's something that we're going to have to take hold of and make sure that, yes, we are people that also have the Word of God in our mouth, also have the Word of God in our thinking, meditating upon it and so on. This is very important because our thinking must change. You see, it's very easy to be infected with the worldly way of thinking. It's very easy to be infected with that because the world is pumping out its doctrines all the time. All the time, you know, through the radio, through the TV, through the cinemas, etc., etc., through the newspapers, it's pumping out. We have to be aware that we should have our filters on, the filter of the Word of God on. Now, I'm not saying that everything on television is evil or wrong. I'm saying you have to have your filter on and you have to be very discerning. You have to be very understanding, have spiritual understanding about what you're doing. So our thinking must change. Our bodies and minds should be in submission to our spirit. In other words, we're not just running off doing just anything. Have a look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And you'll notice that this scripture is in the New Testament. And it reflects what we just read in the Old Testament in Joshua 1. You see, if you want good success in God, your thinking has to change. And you have to allow the Word of God to become a part of you. There's no getting out of that. If you're to be a successful Christian, if you're to be successful in the Lord, you have to allow your thinking to be moulded by God's thoughts, God's words, God's ways. That's what it says in verse 1 and 2 of Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what's your body being presented to God? It's a sacrifice, isn't it? It's a sacrifice. It's one of the New Testament sacrifices that we do, presenting our bodies to the Lord. Lord, use me. I present my hands, I present my eyes, I present my mouth, I present my feet. I present myself to you to use. Okay? And notice it says a living sacrifice. So you're living to do what God wants you to do. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is part of your service to God. Are you a servant of God? Well, you have to be a servant of righteousness, a servant of God if you're born again. You're not serving yourself. The scripture's clear about that. Well, you shouldn't be. And verse 2 says, and. Now, the word and means it's connected to verse 1. And be not conformed to this world. And this is what concerns me about many of the modernist influences in the churches. And that is that there's a conformity to the world's ways and the world's way of thinking. And here we see, be not conformed to this world, colon, that means have a look at what follows after because it's very relevant to being not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what do we read in Colossians 1? We read the definition of success, didn't we? Being filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And what we see here is, how can you know about the will of God? How can you know about that will of God? What you have to do is exactly what it says here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to change in its thinking. Your mind has to change in its thinking. You cannot just think, well, it's going to be automatic. I'm born again now, so it's going to be automatic. No, you have to do something here. It's not just going to drop on you. You have to do something. Notice what it says in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. It's talking about you and me. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye. That's you and me. That's plural. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's the way to know the will of God. You have to get your mind renewed. And how do you get your mind renewed? But through the Word of God. Have a look at Romans 10. Let's go back a little bit. Romans 10. And we'll look at verse 8. Just verse 8 there. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Sounds like what God said about Joshua. You know, put it in your mouth. And in thy heart. Your heart is your soul and spirit. Your soul has your mind component. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay, so we see here that you have to get the word into your mouth and into your heart. I know this is these are things we've covered before, but it's important to partake of this, to understand this, and to continually put it into operation in your heart and life. If you have no revelation about it, you could be sitting in a church like Victory Faith Center for years, but something's clogging or holding you back in your ears and you're not listening. And then one day there's a revelation that comes, oh, now I understand. I understand what the faith walk is all about. I understand what it's being, how to have good success in God. I understand I've got to deal with that in my life. I've got to do that. Oh, I see my responsibility. I can't be conformed to the world. I can't have the television on 24 hours a day or hours and hours a day and also getting the Word of God into me at the same time. That is, unless you're listening to sermons or things like that. But of course, still you have to pray. Still you have to get into the Word for your own self. You know, you've got to get into the Bible for your own self. You can't have other people doing it for you. So here we see that we have to have a change in our thinking. We have to have our minds renewed. Praise the Lord. Have a look at 1 Peter 3, 10 to 12. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 to 12. Now, there's a lot of very good principles revolving around all of this area of having success in God, because God wants his people to be victorious. He wants his people to be triumphant. He doesn't want his people to be down and out or hardly able to afford to fund the things that he wants done. He wants his people to be strong. He wants them to be healthy. He wants them to be free. He wants them to have an understanding of what he wants done and so on. 1 Peter 3, starting from verse 10, that's what it says here. Starting from verse 10, 1 Peter 3. For he that will love life and see good days. Now, do you love life and see good days? You should love life. The Bible says to love life. So you should love life. And in particular, you should love eternal life. That is life with God. Okay. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. What's the solution to that? Fill your mouth with the Word of God, isn't it? You know, so that and fill your heart with the Word of God, so that if you come to a bit of trouble, suddenly profanities aren't coming out, But when you come to a bit of trouble, the word of God in victory is coming out. You know, this is so very important. As you come to trouble, well, there's going to be trouble. Jesus said you'll have tribulation in this world. There's going to be things like that, storms, but you don't want it entering into you. You want it to be out here, like you've got a force field around you. And you do have one. The Bible says that God is our shield. God is our defence. God is our refuge. God is our fortress. Well, you couldn't get a better force field than that, could you? You couldn't get a better way of keeping out the trouble, so to speak. So here we see you have to make sure that you refrain your tongue from evil and your lips, they speak no God. Verse 11 says, let him eschew evil. That is, keep evil right away from you. Go away from evil, don't even go near it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. Take hold of it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You've got to understand, God is for his people. But if these people are dabbling in things that are not right, well, God can't be a part of that, can he? But if his people are doing the right thing, well, as it says there, if you're eschewing evil or avoiding it, keeping it out of your life, so to speak, God can be a part of your life. God can do the right, do what you will do blessing in your life. And you must make the decisions. You notice that it's not God doing the eschewing of the evil and doing good there. You've got to do the good. And you've got to seek peace. But it does say that God has his part in this. It says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. That's what you want. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So here we see there are principles here that we can take hold of. We have to be thinking right. We have to have the right things in our mouths and in our hearts. We have to be making decisions every day to make sure that we're doing what God wants. It's very, very important. Look also at Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. You know, it's very important where you place yourself, who you place yourself with. For example, I believe it's very important to be fellowshipping with faith believers if you're going to be a person who's going to be a strong faith Christian. So you don't want to be saying, well, all right, I'll give church the flick and I'll just say, well, I'll have my little church in at home in front of the television. When one of the preachers gets up, I'll listen to that, I'll be right. No, you won't be, because the Bible talks a lot about fellowship. And it talks a lot about brethren, and it talks a lot about the body of Christ, it talks a lot about the church and being part of the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and so he's not going to be very happy with people that say, well, I'm going to avoid that. And also notice that such people that say, well, I'll avoid that, it's not that they're avoiding nothing or not having anything to do with nothing with others. They are. They're partaking of worldly things. And this is what happens. Have a look in Psalm 1, verses 1 to 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, where is your counsel going to be? It has to be in God, doesn't it? You should be asking the Lord or seeking the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You should be seeking the counsel of God first. You cannot stand in the way of sinners. You can't be around people that are continually doing the wrong thing and thinking that that's okay, or I can be around them and that's not going to infect me. Well, see, that's not what the scripture says, is it? It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, Where's your delight? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So the law of the Lord, the word of God, is where your delight should be. And that's where you're meditating day and night. Now, if the scripture says you can meditate on it day and night, then you can meditate on it day and night. Okay, meditation means it's a part of your thinking. You bring it into your thinking. You're not allowing it to bypass your thinking, but you're allowing your mind to be renewed. Verse 3, and he shall be, this is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he's meditating in it day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that sounds like good success. That sounds like success that comes by doing what God is saying here to do. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, that tree is going to be green. It's going to have fruit. It's going to be strong because it's continually got that source of water. As it says there, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's two ways here. This is why God says, be not conformed to this world. There's two ways. There's the way of the righteous, which we should learn about, which we should know about, which we should understand, spiritual understanding. And there's the way of the ungodly. Now, because we're in this world, not of it, but we're in this world, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to go this way of the ungodly. A lot of pressure. And that's why fellowship and coming under the word of God is so very important. Because if you don't, then you're not allowing the word to have its preeminence in your life. Okay? And to make sure that you're putting God in his right place, that is first in your life. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So what we see here is that there are promises in here. Whatsoever you do shall prosper, for example. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. You can have good success in God, but it's not going to be automatic. Some people think it's automatic. Some people might think, well, if I just find the right church, I can just sit there and it's all going to just come to me. You see, you've got to find where God wants you to be, but you've got to do what God wants you to do and say what God wants you to say. If you're led of the Spirit, that's very important in your life, to be led of the Spirit, to know what to do. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. Let's look at that one. Proverbs 4. 20 to 23. Now, we have looked at this one, this section of scripture, a number of times, but it doesn't matter. Let it be a revelation in your heart, a revelation of understanding. You want good success in God? What's God calling you to do? He's not calling you to do nothing. He's calling you to do something in the body of Christ. You need to know what the will of God is. You need to know what God is wanting you to do. And it doesn't matter about how old Abraham was old when he was called out. It doesn't matter about that. What you need to do, it doesn't matter how young. What you need to do is say, I'm going to centre my life on the Lord. I'm going to go forward in what he wants me to do. Now, we've been looking at various principles that are very, very important. And this covers them again from another angle in Proverbs. Chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend means pay attention to. And that's why you can read it in Ecclesiastes 5. It says, when you come to the house of God, be ready to hear. Be ready in your heart to hear. I want to hear. I want to hear what God has to say. Okay? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Your spiritual ear. Your spiritual ear. So that you can hear what God is really saying. Because he is speaking. He's constantly speaking. He's saying things. But you've got to say, well, I want to hear what you have to say, Lord. I really do. And so, you know, there can be things clogging up your hearing. The Bible calls it grossness or gross heart. And so people, they're not hearing properly. But it also talks about in that same scripture repentance and being converted or changed on the inside. Now notice what it says here. There are things which will happen when you say, I will attend to God's words. I will incline mine ear unto his saying. There are things that will happen. Verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? Thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And we also saw, put it in your mouth. We've seen that. Are you starting to see the principles of God's word, what he's saying here? Get it into your heart. Get it into your mouth. Attend to it. Incline your ears. Meditate upon it day and night. You know, don't be conformed to the world's ways, but know the way of the righteous. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. These are very, very important principles. And notice what it says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. We have in today's society a great amount of tools, so to speak, greater than any other generations, amount of tools to be able to get the Word of God into your life regularly, into your heart and so on regularly. I mean, the number of technological tools we have now is phenomenal, but I also believe that it's for the last days and for the propagation of the gospel right across this planet in the last days. It's not for the devil's propagation of his words. It's for God's propagation. So keep that in mind. But we have that available to us more than ever. More than ever. Praise the Lord. Now notice what it says in verse 22. For they, talking about God's words, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. This is something that'll happen. Health to your flesh. Life to those that find them. In verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. And that's in the sense of guarding it. For out of it are the issues of life. You know, you want to know what God wants for your life? Make sure that your heart is right with him. It says, with all diligence. So God is speaking. He has said it over and over again. If you want good success, there's a way. There's a way to have it. But you've got to be open to me. You've got to understand this is the way to do it. This is the way you can have it. Praise the Lord. Now, God is not holding back things. But as I said before, every Christian must make decisions. Decisions, I will attend. I will incline mine ear. I will renew my mind. See, these are all things that the Lord has put as our responsibilities. I will put the word into my heart, as it says there, keep it in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. I will do that. I will speak it. But it's all decisions on our part. And I just want to finish with Matthew 6, verses 30 to 34, because it's one that I've quoted several times now in this. Matthew 6, 30 to 34. This is so very important, because you might be facing something in your life that needs to change. But you know that everything that you can see is temporal. What is eternal? God's word, God's way. That's eternal. God's life, eternal life. You see, God's kingdom, that's eternal. And so we see here in Matthew 6, verses 30 to 34, and it gives a great contrast between those that seek after just the mundane physical things, the things of this life only, and refuse to seek after God and his ways. But you see, there's a great difference in the way you think in that way. If you think along God's way of thinking, then you will know what to put first and what is secondary. Praise the Lord. Well, look, verse 30 says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" What's he saying to this person? You need to grow in faith. You need to get a bit of faith. You need to understand that God is very interested in clothing you. He's not wanting to leave you destitute. Verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" When he says take no thought, he's really saying, look, don't allow this to be preeminent in your thinking. And you can see as you go forward in this, that's what he's saying. Verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." In other words, if it's preeminent in your thinking, you're seeking it. Okay? But what is preeminent in your thinking? What should be preeminent in our thinking? What are we seeking? Okay, what are we seeking? The Gentiles, those who don't know God, they're seeking all types of other things, but they're not seeking the Lord. You don't go to the pub and say, well, let's have a prayer meeting. Well, let's read the Word of God. Okay, it's not. You could, but you're not going to get a good reaction necessarily unless the Lord has told you to do that. As it says in verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." In other words, God knows you need all these things. That shouldn't be what you're seeking after. Verse 33, but. So, but is talking about in contradiction to that way of seeking and thinking. But this is what you should do. Seek ye first. So what should be preeminent? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, you don't have to be concerned about it. It's going to be added unto you. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know, what we should be concerned about is, what do you want now, Lord? What do you want me to do? And I'll take a step of faith, one step at a time, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'll take those steps of faith and go forward in you. Praise the Lord. So I want you to come out of this saying, well, good success in God is not automatic. It's based on the things that the Lord has put in place for us to do, and to make sure that we change the way we think. Old things are passed away. You know, if you're in the kingdom of God, you've got a new way of living now. New way of talking, new way of doing, new way of thinking, praise God. And your thinking must be moulded by what's written in the Bible, praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your way, the way of righteousness, the way of the righteous. And Lord, I pray that all of us would be people that take hold of that way and go forward in it, running the good race and fighting the good fight. And that, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And if there's anyone that wants to talk to me later about all of this, or individually, I am available and I'll help you. Because God wants every person here to have good success in God, and it's not that he's holding back anything from you. He wants that. So I pray that you have heard the word tonight, and it is a word as the Lord would have it preached and taught.